Good, well, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Welcome to Plymouth United
Church of Christ. Good to be all together on this Easter morning, and welcome. Welcome to you all. Our opening song is a call and response. This is the day, number 84 in the hymnal. Joe and I are gonna lead this one. Joe doing most of the leading. It's call and response. You'll see it says, this is the day, and then this is the day that our God has made. So Joe will say,
this is the day.
And then we all say, this is the day
that our God has made.
That our God has made.
We will rejoice.
We will rejoice.
And be glad in it.
And be glad in it. And then we all sing, this is the day that our God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then Joe,
this is the day.
This is the day that all of us that our God has made. Very good. All right, we've all got that. So, Nancy?
On Friday, after his crucifixion and death, Jesus' followers put his body in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. On Sunday morning, some of the women went to his tomb to anoint his body and prepare it for burial. But it was empty. Jesus had risen. And now, please rise if you are able and sing our opening hymn as Jesus' light comes into our hearts and our lives.
Thank you. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, illumine our hearts and minds. Christ, our light.
Thanks be to God.
Christ, our light.
Thanks be to God.
Christ, our light.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me responsively in our call to worship. Alleluia! Christ has risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Alleluia! Christ has risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed, is the response we usually say. So when I say he is risen, respond back with he is risen indeed. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is Easter morning, the celebration of Jesus coming out of the empty tomb, his resurrection and new life. And certainly one of the promises of Easter is the promise of eternal life and the promise of forgiveness, the promise that nothing can separate us from God's love. And so in that spirit, let us come together in confession, knowing that we are loved. Let's pray together the prayer of confession. All loving, all life-giving God, we confess that even on this most holy day, we are unable to believe in the victory over death shown to us in the resurrection of Jesus, our friend, our teacher, our Lord. We confess our dependence on you, not only for life, but also for faith, hope, and love. Without your astonishing appearance to our ancestors and your constant, faithful presence throughout the ages, we would be lost. Forgive us and transform us, that in every way our work and prayer will make whole what is broken and give peace on earth. Amen. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters in Christ, sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus, who was raised from the dead, has not given us over to death. In his name, you are forgiven. May the peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Take a moment and share the peace of Christ.
Be seated. That is great. Great singing. Good energy on the Holly Hallelujah. Well, yes. Yeah. Well, greetings to you all in the love of the risen Christ. Greetings to you all in God's unending love and peace and hope and joy. Welcome to Plymouth this morning. I am Pastor David. It is good to have everyone here. Good to be reunited as the family of Plymouth, as this beloved community that we call Plymouth United Church of Christ. Glad that you are all with us. Hope you are well stuffed on muffins. And if you are not yet as full of muffins as you would like to be, if you're wishing, I wish I would have had one more, five more We'll have more after worship, so feel free to grab some muffins on the way out as well. I'm assuming there are some left. I didn't actually look to see if there were any left, but there are. Oh, good, so I'm not lying. All right. I would hate to be telling an untruth on Easter. That would be not a good day for that. So, yep, grab some muffins on the way out if you'd like. A couple things of you. One, we do have our hospitality record. I ask that you fill this out and please put that in the offering plate as the offering goes around. And there is also, we have space on that now for those of us that give electronically or give once a month or whatever, to just mark that I'm not putting anything in the offering plate today because I've already given, but here is my hospitality records. Please fill that out. And especially we like that for those who are here for the first time, haven't been here before. It's always nice to send a thank you note out to all of you for worshiping with us and to stay in touch and in contact with you as well. And we want to say many thanks for all those who are helping out today and help make the space. Barb Kleiss came in and set up our flowers and our altar table, so thank you for that. And thank you to Nancy for being with us to play today. Nancy has is playing without with laryngitis, so thank you for coming in, even though you... They maybe not feel it as well as you would like, and thank you to all the liturgists and John for playing music, and good to have so many people involved here today, and thanks to all the youth and your families for setting up for the magnificent muffin breakfast as well this morning. That is all I have, think I have to go over in the life of the church and things that are going on, but Barb looks like... Oh, that's right, yes. Lynn McFadden, who's our usual pianist, she's also a good shepherd, plays both places each Sunday, so she's not with us today, but she has left a treat. She often, when it's not Lent, we always have chocolate or some kind of sweet treat during the passing of the peace, so she has left some sweet treats for you all out on the table. Grab an egg on the way out, please, and thanks to Lynn for that, and thank you for reminding me that we have that. I do invite you all to come back again, make Plymouth a spiritual home. If you don't have one of your own, invite you to come back and join us again. And I think, is there anything else? Are we all right. I think we're all covered. Well, then let us continue our worship of celebrating this wonderful day that Jesus has risen from the dead and conquered death and proven his love for us and God's love for us. We have our centering song here that Nancy is going to lead us in. That is on page 11 of your bulletin. And as during the hymn, it's a time, or during this centering song, this is a time to focus your mind and heart to continue to worship, to get ready to hear the word, especially to hear the word, good word of the good news that Jesus is risen and Jesus is alive. So Nancy, if you would.
Thank you.
Please join in reading responsibly with me Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and 14 through 24. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
There are glad songs of victory in the
tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our gospel lesson today is from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciple returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Barb, and thank you, gents. Joe read the psalm. Gents did the call to worship. Thank you all. Well, today is Easter. Today is Easter. And how wonderful it is to be together and to celebrate together, to sing together. How wonderful the sound has been in here this morning. All these voices raised together in song. How wonderful the sound is when the people of God, the beloved community, is gathered together in worship and in praise. And imagine having that sound be a regular part of your lives, especially if you don't have a spiritual home yet. Imagine having this kind of experience every Sunday. All of us here to celebrate Easter, to celebrate resurrection, to celebrate new life, to celebrate God's love. On this day that we remember that the tomb was empty, that Mary went to the tomb and found it to be empty. And not just empty, but also that the stone that had been in front of it had already been rolled away when Mary showed up. The stone was gone. The tomb was exposed to the light. Think of that stone that was in front of the tomb as working as a kind of defense, maybe, between life and death, as a barrier between light and darkness. You know, put the stone there so I don't have to see the darkness. The way we might put stones in our own lives. Put the stone in front of this so I don't have to see the darkness in my own life. Or put the stone there to cover up the things I don't like. Or maybe put the stone there to cover up the things that cause me anxiety so I don't have to look at them, so I don't have to see them. So I can pretend that they're not there anymore. Put the dead body in the tomb and put the stone over it so the taint of death, that unhideable fact of death, is hidden away. Or we think hidden away and we don't have to think about it. We can think of it as something that's over there, something we don't maybe have to deal with. But then Jesus rolls that stone away. Or has it rolled away? It could have been an angel, someone else in God's employ, and think of it. Someone rolled that stone away, either Jesus or one of the angels or something. I can picture Jesus rolling that away, saying, "No, no, no, no. Don't try to hide what's happened here. Don't try to hide this. I am the Lord. I am the Lord of life. I am the Lord in the realm of death. I am the Lord of light who expels all darkness. I am the Lord of all." So don't try to hide this. This is reality. This tomb is as much a reality as all of the wonderful things in life. It's all of the good parts of life. So let's be honest about it. And because I, Jesus, am sovereign over all of it. With Jesus, there's no hiding. There's no hiding. We can't pretend with Jesus. Jesus knows who we are. Jesus knows our name, knows what we've done, knows who we are, knows us intimately and fully, and loves us. Just because we are made by God, because we exist, Jesus loves us. No matter how many stones we roll in front of our dark places to pretend that they aren't there, or to just put them out of sight, or to try to hide it from other people, or even to hide it from ourselves, Jesus knows. And Jesus wants to redeem it. Jesus wants to show love and help dispel those dark places. And until that stone is moved away, it'll be a source of worry, of anxious suffering, of shame. Jesus loves rolling away those stones. Loves rolling away the stones that we put in front of things. And Jesus is all about taking away from us whatever it is that blocks us from full life, from fully experiencing the life that God intends for us, that God wants for us. Jesus loves being part of our lives. Not being sequestered away, but Jesus meets us in life, in our lives. Jesus wants to be part of our lives because Jesus loves you. That's the simple truth. It's a big truth of Easter. That's a big truth that we in the church proclaim. Jesus loves you. And so much that even death could not keep him away from us. that even though we crucified him a couple days ago, death could not keep him away from us. So desperate to be part of our lives that he came back from the dead. And it's at our stones that Jesus meets us. So I think that that's a place that Jesus meets us so more fully. It's in our dark places, in our places of suffering, our places of pain. Jesus isn't waiting until we're perfect and perfectly happy to come to us. Jesus comes to us where there is pain, where there is suffering. Where is God? God is wherever there is suffering in the world. It's at our stone that Jesus meets us. The Lord of light does his best work in our darkness. That's redemption. Jesus had to come back from the dead. He had to roll away that stone of separation and had to stand there at the tomb so that he could be with us, so that he could call out to one of his disciples with her name, Mary. Mary. It's so personal and so intimate. That's a God who wants to enter into our lives, not an abstract, distant God, but a close one. A God so close that he sees us, knows our name, isn't afraid to use it. Mary. Mary! Or Joe, or Charlie, or David, or Sarah, Jennifer, Lucy, whatever your name is. Imagine Jesus saying your name, calling to you. Because he is. He is. He knows our names. And there's this moment here that Mary does not recognize Jesus. And we might think that's odd, and maybe it is, but I don't know. Maybe it's not so odd that she doesn't recognize him, because we expect dead things to stay dead. She saw Jesus be crucified, saw him put into the tomb. There's no reason that she should think to be looking for Jesus among the living. We expect dead things to stay dead, so why should we think that the living man would be the one that she's looking for? So she thinks it's the gardener. Ah. Must be the gardener. Although I wonder if, as she was looking at the gardener, if she had the thought, boy, he does look an awful lot like Jesus, though. But in her head, thinking, boy, it sure looks like Jesus, but it can't be, because I saw him die. And I know someone's taken his body, because there's nothing in the tomb. But he says her name, Mary! Mary! And a memory is triggered. How many times has she heard him say her name? How many times has he said her name to her? And there is such power in her name. In a name. Our names. That's why in our street ministry, one of the first things that we do is to learn people's names. As we're working with the people that live on the street, learn their names and use their names, because it's so important, both that they know that they are known, and also important that we know them and that they know us. That's community. That's the beloved community, that we know one another. And for a people who have little, for people that don't have much, a name is an incredibly important possession. A name is one of the few things that is so linked to who we are. And to our identity. Name is so, so important. And one of the few things that cannot be taken away, or that can enrage us so much when people try to take it away by calling us by a different name, or giving numbers to prisoners, or other forms of trying to steal people's identity, or to just label them as homeless or woman or gay or whatever it is, instead of by name. Our names have power. And the name is that one thing that should never be taken away from us, no matter how much else we might lose. And so Jesus says, Mary. Mary. And she knows who he is. like recognizing the voice of a loved one over the phone, or someone knocking on your door and announcing who they are and calling your name or calling you from across a room. That sense of, that moment of hearing your name and recognizing the voice of the one who's saying it. And in that moment when Jesus says, Mary, and she recognizes him, I think it's a moment there that her world is changed. Distinctions that she thought mattered are shattered. Between life and death, between what she thought was possible and what really is possible, what God is about and what God is truly about. And maybe you can see the neurons firing in her brain, rewriting the narrative of what she thought was possible. She hears the name and she goes, that sounds like Jesus, this man looking in front of me. Maybe even looks like Jesus, but I saw him die. I saw him die. I saw him put into the tomb and the stone rolled over it. And yet I know this morning the tomb is empty, so Jesus is gone. At least I know the body's not there. The linens are there, so probably no one stole the body. They wouldn't take the time to fold up the linens and make it all look nice and tidy in there. Everybody's thinking, trying to make sense of all of this and the realization come in. He is alive. This is Jesus standing in front of me. She recognizes him. The stone of her assumptions about death have been rolled away. The stone of her despair over the power of state-sponsored violence has been rolled away. The stone of her hopelessness or whatever she may have been feeling that day, all rolled away. And she comes into this new life with Jesus. She's ushered in by speaking her name. He invites her into the community of God's realm, where all ideas of separation and loss and difference are shown to be nothing but illusion. She is brought into the divine whole, into the divine community. And as are also we brought into that community through the good news of Easter, a promise that it's impossible to die alone, a promise that death is not the end, because we live in Jesus Christ. Jesus who meets us at the tomb, the tombs of our life. Serene Jones is the president of the seminary I went to, and she wrote this about Jesus meeting Mary at the tomb and speaking her name here. This is the shared space where Jesus meets us, calling our name, receiving our touch, calming our anxious worries, and reminding us again and again that grace is not an object to be known, but a gift to be lived. And Mary leaves the tomb to announce to a broken, suffering, tomb-filled world to say the words, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord, and so can we say, I have seen the Lord? Let Jesus roll away those stones that keep us in the tomb that God never intended for us, because we're made to live. We are made to be loved, and you are loved. No conditions. All our faults and foibles, we are loved. You are loved. So much that Jesus came back from the dead to roll away a stone and to speak your name and restore you to the beloved community, to bring you into the beloved community of all people. And I invite you to continue to be part of the beloved community. Don't necessarily have to make a lifetime commitment, but maybe for April, for the next 3 Sundays, invite you to come back. Be part of this beloved community of Plymouth. Come back for the next 3 Sundays. I'm going to be talking about stones and barriers and the things that block us from full life and Jesus that wants us to live because we are loved. And this week, I offer you the invitation to continue coming, but also offer an invitation to you to think about this encounter that Mary has with Jesus. She is looking right at him, but not recognizing him until he says her name, Mary. When have you recognized Jesus? I don't want to call it a homework assignment, but a spiritual practice for you for this week. Think about, when have you seen the Lord? When has the Lord called your name? When have you heard, felt, seen the Lord? And how can you say to a world, I have seen the Lord? Through our actions, through the way that we show love to the world. So as you ponder all those, I offer you the blessing that may you all know the risen Jesus today and all days. May you know the risen Jesus, the Jesus who loves you. May you know Jesus this day and all days, for you are beloved, and you are part of the beloved community. Amen. And happy Easter.
God's blessing be upon you, and this table is table that Jesus sets for us, Jesus' table of friendship and love, to which all people are welcome and to which all people are accepted. And here at Plymouth, we do have an open table, which means whatever your church tradition, whatever your religious tradition or non-tradition, whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey, all are invited to this table. You are all invited to partake of the bread and the wine. And do just have a couple of prayers that I'll mention. We'll not be doing a Joys and Concern time here this morning, but just let you know, Matt and Aurora Robison, who are members of this church, moved away now, unfortunately, but they had a baby this week, Eleanor Kay, so keep them in your prayers. My partner, Yuki, who's a minister in Japan, just started at a new church in, I always got to write this down, Amagasaki, there we are, near between Osaka and Kobe. So please keep her and her new church in prayers. And also we've been praying for Autumn, and she is here this morning. Good to see her. And Barb and Larry's grandson was here while still in the building somewhere. But Max is here as well. So prayers for all of them. And now let us come together and enjoy the feast that Jesus has set before us, and Hannah is going to help me with that this morning. The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord, and let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In every time and every age, O God, it is good and faithful that we give you thanks, for your mercy is sure, and your steadfast love endures forever. In your compassion, you gave us Christ Jesus, who frees us from darkness and lights our path to endless renewal and life eternal. And so, with all of creation, with all the needy and hungry ones, with all those who have enough and plenty, with creatures large and small, with sun and moon and stars, and with the saints of every age, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord. Is that on?
God of
our might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And blessed are you, O God, creator of all things. By your power and love, you continue to deliver your people from bondage, thwart the designs of evil, show the way through the wilderness, turn hardship into righteousness, and reveal your hand upholding the just. And blessed are you, O Christ, servant of the universe.
You came among us to feed and heal and teach.
To confound the haughty, to confuse the tricksters, challenge the wrong-hearted.
And in all these things, to give hope to those who long for peace. Remembering our Lord's self-giving love, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Words when we have none. You fill us with vision when we have the most need. You give us voice to proclaim our faith in every hour. Be our guide and teacher today and always. And come now, O Prince of Peace, Spirit of Love, Breath of Life. Bring to all this hurting world the joy that Mary knew, and teach us to proclaim with her, "I have seen the Lord." In the unity of the Holy Trinity, in gratitude for this great day of resurrection, we praise you, God of all that is, now and forever. Amen. And now, instead of saying the Lord's Prayer, Sam is going to sing. So,
the glory
And after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all sins. And whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." This is the meal of the beloved community to which all are invited. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for setting this meal in front of us, before us, and for inviting us to this table. And we ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and wine, that they become for us the body and the blood of Christ, and that we also become the body of Christ here on earth, spreading the good news of your love. Amen. Amen. I invite our servers to come forward. And as we share in the bread, I ask that you please take a piece of bread and hold on to it until we're all served, and then we will eat it together, symbolizing our unity as the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ given for you, and eat in remembrance of him. And as we share in the cup of salvation, grape juice is on the outside of the rings, the darker colored liquid in the cups. We have wine in the middle, and ask that you drink as you are served, symbolizing our individual yearning to touch the divine, to experience the divine. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you for the forgiveness of all sins. And drink this in remembrance of him. Your mic. You still have it? No, that's fine. didn't realize you got rid of the microphone. Salvation for you, Louise. Cup of salvation for you, Larry. I'll put it in there if you want. George, cup of salvation for you. Good. Maybe seated. Hannah, cup of salvation for you. Let us join together in the prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Before we get into the benediction, let's invite you again, remind you that we'll have the muffins out there, that this is a fundraiser for our kids to go to camp, so please enjoy some muffins, continue to enjoy our hospitality here, and now let us say our benediction together. Receive the good news. Christ is risen from the dead. Tell the good news. The power of death shall no more oppress us. Live the good news. We are free to love as he has loved us. And now may the truth of the empty tomb, the astonishing reality of Jesus' resurrection, keep you fearless and sure that you will see the resurrected one again and again in this life. May the power of God's endless love surround you and guide you this day and always. Alleluia and amen.